And so now I'm like waking up and realize, no, my story is a love story. My story is Mother Earth and Father Sky fell in love and made humans. Because a lot of people have the wrong perception of reality. And so they might hate reality when, in fact, reality is created for them. So why are you hating the reality rather than loving it so much that you are creating out of love? I want people to fall in love with their story, fall in love with your astrology, fall in love with the genetics. Ignorance is bliss because you don't know that you don't know how to love until you lose everything and realize what it takes to love. The shitty stuff that happens to us always tells me, oh, there's a gift I'm waiting to get. Original medicine wasn't written during a time of lack, but it was written during a time of abundance. Again, original medicine give us all the skills to be divine. And I think that's why original medicines need to come back, because modern medicine has been censored for many lifetimes. I'm not fixing you. I'm not healing you. I am just reflecting the healing that's ready for you to experience. Love is the most powerful medicine.
Welcome home to the Loving Consciously podcast. My name is Amaris.
And my name is Eric.
And if you are like us, nobody taught you how to love. We are best friends and life partners here to vulnerably and authentically share our journey while exploring the sacred realms of love, consciousness, relationships, spirituality, and all that they encompass.
The intention of this show is to help you consciously relate to yourself, others, and everything else in this universe. Together, we can embody a more intentional and fulfilling way of giving and receiving love.
Loving consciously. Through 8 years together, we have had the opportunity to overcome deep patterning and programming, as well as trauma related to mental health, addiction, pregnancy loss, infidelity, and immense grief. After 6 years of experiencing these challenges with no knowledge on how to heal or love each other, we separated.
After us both spiritually awakening and recommitting, we formed our conscious partnership and have spent the last 2 years cultivating a divine union founded on unconditional love, devotion, and commitment to personal growth.
Thank you for joining us and doing the work alongside us as we explore this beautiful world of love and consciousness to co-create a new world of love.
As you courageously walk this path, remember to have grace with yourself and know that you have both the capacity to love consciously and the power to always choose love.
Namaste and welcome back to the Loving Consciously podcast. We are so excited to be here today with our dear friend, someone that we love and respect so much, to talk about many things, one of them being original medicine. We're going to get into acupuncture and love and so many other awesome things. And so without further ado, Charlie, thank you so much for being here with us today. Welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be able to speak about this today.
Yeah, there's nothing I would rather do right now than hear you talk about this stuff. So before we get into that and get into you and who you are and all the beautiful things that you're offering to the world and the collective right now, I would love to ask you what loving consciously looks like in your life.
Yes, thank you for that. Loving consciously to me, it's really important, is just being able to understand the power of love and being conscious of how we use it. I think too oftentimes we use love in a way that like dismisses the power of it. I think it's very important that, you know, even just the idea of listening, that's very powerful, you know, in loving someone. I think we often are in a Western culture that demands action. And I think it's very powerful that sometimes shutting up, listening, and not at reacting is just as loving as really giving advice, right? I think too often we like to like do stuff rather than like, hey, that's your thing. Actually, anything I say won't really help. So I'll love you from a distance, but I still can love you and not show that I need to make my presence known or something like that, right? I think because this is a very common Eastern thing of like, sometimes actually by doing nothing is much more loving than actually taking action. There's definitely a place to take action sometimes, but if that's the general, then we're missing the opposite, which is not taking action.
I love so much you brought something up. I don't know if anyone's brought this up before, but just like how nuanced love is. And another thing you like really lightly touched on that I love, pun intended, is, you know, almost kind of how I don't want to say overused it is, right? But like we do kind of like simplify it, especially at least in American culture that, we live in. Like, I love you is thrown around like, a lot, and love is, it's kind of been understated and overused. And so
Yes.
I think right now we are all just so deeply being encouraged to like look within and redefine what love means, right? Because like you said, love doesn't mean buying chocolates. Love doesn't mean, like posting on Facebook or whatever it is. Like, it's so much deeper than that. And so part of our collective like awakening is redefining what love is. So thank you for, touching on that nuance. I would love to talk about you. I want to share with our listeners, who this magical galactic being sitting in front of me is. So, as much or as little as you want to share about your journey, be it with consciousness or love or both, and kind of what got you to all of the amazing things you're doing in the world right now.
My awakening journey happened with the 2012 December 21st, 2012 experience, where everyone was talking about it. Oh, shit's gonna happen, the world's gonna change, and you're like,
The
fall
world's gonna
21,
end.
you're still waiting, you're like, well, shit didn't happen.
I was in the frame
But
of consciousness at that time. This is a really funny sidebar for our listeners that I was like, oh, the world's gonna end. We should throw a big party and get really, drunk and party. And so, like, that's where I was in 2012.
Mardi Gras, right? Basically, let's mess up our bodies before we go into that like sacred journey. So for me, it was really the ancient alien conversation that really triggered me into recognizing that I was already having these conversations, but nothing externalizing what was reflecting what was happening internally. And so I had these like crazy ideas. I'm like, because I was studying religion just for fun, because I was at the age where, like, you're 30 and you're like, okay, is religion or spirituality an important thing in my life? I was working at Disney. I was kind of like the top of my game, doing well. I was making games for work. So like life was great. But spiritually I was empty. And I was like, I can do the games, I can get paid, but like on my off time, what was I doing? Playing more games, like just distracting myself from the fact that like I wasn't living fully to who I was meant to be. And so 2013 kicked in. I started to watch Ancient Aliens because I was like, I had this idea, because as technologists, you're like, wait a minute, if you look back at everything they said about these gods, in today's time, it sounds like they made contact. And if that's the case, right, how do we go back and look at our scenario and realize that like life is actually a lot longer than the 8,000 years they supposedly have evidence that we are only around for, right? Yet the planet is billions of years old, so it doesn't make any sense. And so Ancient Aliens really kind of like got me thinking that, wow, there's a lot of proof that there are technologies here that we are now rebringing, resurfacing in our timelines. And so I was like, and I was at Disney making games and writing stories. And story was really what I studied going to LA. In LA, everyone's an actor, everyone's in the movies. And so storytelling is very prevalent in that consciousness. And so I was like, ready to leave Disney. I was like, hey, what's the original story of the planet? Because clearly someone's lying about it, because there are written evidence that someone wrote a comic book, right? Because I'm a big comic book fan, and it's like someone wrote a comic book in stones to tell us who we really are. So I took a trip to Egypt, and then I also was reading a whole bunch of spiritual book at the time, The Law of One and all these esoteric books. And one of them was saying that the energy went from Tibet, the spiritual energy of the planet went from Tibet, a masculine spiritual energy, and it was converting to Peru, the feminine Pachamama energy, right? So I was like, I'll go start with Egypt, get my original story of what's happening on the planet, or if someone can tell me something, and then go to where we are going today or tomorrow, which is Peru. So when I left Disney, I did this kind of spiritual roundabout on the planet, looking for stories of how I fit into the grand scheme. And so Egypt was really beautiful. I did 2 weeks there. We got to see all the major temples. And I was having like my own experience, but got to Isis, the Temple of Isis, like at 5:30 in the morning, trying to hit that sunrise, right? And everybody goes to their corner. I'm just staring in front of temple, and then some energy walks next to me, whispers, "Heal the land," and like walks away. And I turn around as if like someone was literally standing right beside me. And I kind of freaked out because I had never experienced a clairaudient experience before. And it felt like someone was whispering in my ears. And so I was like, "Is this a joke? What's happening? Like, who's talking to me?" And so that's kind of when I was like, "Okay, something's happening here in this temple. So I'll pay closer attention," because the first time that I was triggered. And then fast forward, we go to the pyramids, and we get to do the full go into the king's chamber, go into their home in the chamber, and you basically will. You say you kind of come back as a new being, right? So I said, I wake up as Horus and Thoth, and I come back as, and I told myself I'm going to bring back all of the parallel lives that I've experienced that is important this day. They all come back to me now. And so that was the beginning of like what I believe was me accessing the parallel lives of myself in the last 10 years, 12 years since I did this journey. So my journey was like 2013, 2014, where I really went looking for evidence of my awakening, because just being awake and being in your crazy corporate lifestyle wasn't going to like make me do the work. And so leaving corporate, and I haven't been in corporate since then, after I left Disney, I said, I'm only going to work for myself, only working with people who I believe are being conscious and trying to like bring change to the world. But in going to Egypt, I came back, and that voice never went away. And then I went to Peru, and I did Huachuma or San Pedro, and I had a little bit of a vision where I remember myself being in Egypt, golden lights, golden everything. I mean, Egypt was like made of gold. It was really crazy. At first I was like, "What is a city of gold?" But there's pyramids, and so I knew it was Egypt. And so at the time, one of my psychics, she said, "Oh, you've been a high priest before, and you've had to create rules for the land, but you needed to understand power, so you were reincarnated every slave that was affected by the rules you made." I was like, "Brilliant." And that's why they're like, "That's why you're afraid of getting taking power, right?"
Can we just I love you so much, and that's like, to me, what you just said right there was like the marker of a true light warrior, to look at that moment and be like, that's genius. Yes, I'm
Yeah,
here for it.
exactly. It's like, okay, like if you really wanted to know what kind of power you would wield, you'd have to experience the people that would have these powers over them. And it was actually why I have this deep resistance to leadership and power, because I've experienced what rules and laws can do to peoples. And so that's why I say a lot of times, sometimes just not saying anything is more powerful than saying something. Because by saying something, you can affect other people's consciousness too. And that is also karmically linked. And so at that point, I was like, "So what? Like, what does that mean? Like, I have power, but I'm not going to use it." And they're like, "No, actually, you're afraid to use it because you don't want to incarnate back into all these slaves." I'm like, "Yeah, obviously, I wouldn't want to do that." And so, I even in my awakening process, I've been struggling with playing small because I just didn't want to get caught again, right? Because I think we've experienced the witch burning, and the burning of the old guard who were bringing what we call ancient medicine or original medicines. And so I was like, I'm not in for that game either. So there was this part of me that was kind of playing it small for a while. And so for the last 10 years, I was in LA. I started my own businesses, trying to start something. But if I was trying to bring consciousness and small business in the startup world of LA, which is all transient, everyone's faking it. And I realized that, like, okay, I'm clearly in the wrong space to bring consciousness, because consciousness here is just entertainment. It is not truth. And so at the time, I was making a virtual reality game, and I decided, again, if virtual reality is a simulation of reality, we're not making gun games. And everybody's like, "Charlie, that's where the money's at." I'm like, "Yeah, but I didn't leave Disney to go back into the Matrix and basically be karmically tied to everyone who played my gun games." And so I made a game out of astrology, where I use astrology as the concept of you as a character, you playing yourself. That means that you're invested in this externalization of who you are. And so in making that game, I kind of make a 3D natal chart, and I basically studied my own chart during that time. And then realize again, it's like I'm making games for the boys' audience, right? Adult boys. And I was like, this is not my consciousness group either. And so during that time, I was like, I think I'm in the wrong place. And so the universe said, hey, we're going home to Houston. I was like, wait a minute, hold on. I didn't say I was going to go home. I just said, this is not the right place. And they're like, go home, Charlie. I was like, ah. And so this was the beginning of me struggling with the heart and mind disassociation, where many of us go through that, where we believe our mind is stronger than our heart. But my heart's like, no, we already know the answers. You just making shit up. And I'm like, oh my God. And so I really struggled. And that was the beginning of actually recognizing that I wasn't listening to my heart. And that's why I was lost in one job working for somebody else over and over again. And this was this idea that like I did want leadership, so it's much better to service and help others than to actually help myself in the greater scheme of being a leader. And this is where the beginning of like my own heart chakra, my own love for myself, my own love for my own fulfillment started to like speak up now. And it had a voice and it fought against my mind. And if you guys know, I'm a Virgo stellium, so my mind is pretty clever in tricking me into doing shit. But my heart's like, no, like we're Leos here, we're lions, and we don't just sit here. And so me going home is like Simba when he gets Mufasa. No, I'm sorry, a Rafiki who shows up and go home, and then Nala tells him, you need to go home. You're the king of your pride land, and you are here doing Hakuna Matata in LA with Timon and Pumbaa. And I was like, well, fuck. Like, do I have to? Like, and my heart just knew that, like, no, this is where we're meant to be. So I trusted my heart. I went to Houston. And in the beginning of that, I thought I was going to take what I learned in LA and apply it to Houston, which, if you understand, LA, Texas and Cali are very distinct, very different cultures. And so I struggle with being in tech in Houston because there's not much tech in Houston. It's medicine and energy. And so for me, I was like, okay, I decided I'm just going to listen because at this point, I'm talking too much, trying to do too much. And my head's like, hey, we have a thousand things we can do. My heart's like, shut the hell up. You are not listening. It's like, okay. And this is the beginning of actually, people say this a lot. Sometimes when you pray, you're talking to God. When you meditate, you're listening to God. And so I wasn't listening enough. And so the universe is like, we'll take everything away until you start listening. I was like, well, I'm listening now. And so at that point, we had an experience with a sound bath, and the fiance of the guy who was doing the sound bath, we were hanging out at their place. And she's like, Charlie, you seem like you're open to this. Can I tell you something that I don't usually tell people? I'm like, oh, yeah, that sounds awesome. Please tell me, because I'm totally in their woo-woo already. So I love all this crazy, woo-woo stuff. She goes, I see spirits. They go, oh, cool. And you have a spirit following you. Oh, really? And now I'm like, okay, this is going crazy. So, and I know that when you have strangers asking to speak to you from the other side, I always listen, right? Because they found a very difficult way to reach me. That means that I'm not listening. So I was like, yes, I'm listening. And she goes, that person who's following, he looks like your great-great grandfather. Did one of your ancestors was an acupuncturist, an herbalist? And I was like, well, shit. What? So I was like, I think so. He was an exorcist. I don't know if he was an acupuncturist. I didn't. And so I was thinking of my father's side. It could have been my mother's side. And so I was like, yeah, I don't know, but maybe that feel very closely related to this ancestor. And so she's like, yeah, that's all I have to say. I'm like, well, okay. So I looked into it and decided that like everything was set up for me to go to acupuncture school. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to acupuncture school. I'm listening. At first I didn't know how I was going to pull it off, but the universe like cleared my whole schedule for it. So I was like, oh, Okay, I have to go into this space because there's something powerful here. And my journey into acupuncture was actually me falling in love with my genetics again. And I think I say this very specifically is, I'm East Asian descent. I'm an Asian American. I was born in a Western country from the French world to America. And as Asian Americans during the 80s, we all were bullied for being Asian, right? We had the stinky food. We had all kinds of like the way we dressed, our accents. And so for me, I was bullied to the point where I had to look as American as I could. Because apparently, if you look like your enemies, they actually leave you alone. That's what I believed at the time that it happened to me. So I was like, okay, great. Let's just hide behind this American bandwagon. But going to acupuncture school, I realized that like, my heritage had thousands and thousands of years of medicine that it was trying to pass on to me. And so when I started to really tune into it, I fell in love with the medicine. I remember going into doing the acupuncture, and I was sitting there going, oh, I've really done this before. This feels very natural. Even putting the needles, I put it in, and I'm like, wow, how do you know how to put needles? I just put it in. I didn't know there was a way to do it, but it naturally came out. And so that's when I realized, is this how it feels to actually live in your grand design, to live your genetics, right? Because too often, even today, what happens now, and I love that America is going through the fusion of cultures, but if you fuse too early, you miss the depth that your genetics and your ancestors are trying to pass on to you. And so I realized that like they were speaking to me through this medicine. And so I took a lot of responsibilities in that because here I am, being an Asian American who fought being shamed for being Asian. And then now I'm literally getting a degree in Asian medicine. And so, and I remember one of my friends who even joked about it. I was like, yeah, I don't know if I'm really Asian. And they look at me, Charlie, you just got a degree in Chinese medicine. You are as Asian as you can be, and you have a certification for it. I was like, wow. And that really hit me hard because like I think before nobody would have asked what culture you come from because you would have looked the part, you would have been in your culture. But many of us have been displaced from our culture. And so it's almost like I didn't love me and my ancestors and who I represented. And of course, I was like, I'm not racist. I'm not gonna talk about me being Asian. But it's me. It is who I am. It is where I came from. Even my own parents speak to me in my own native tongue, right? And so for me to kind of be ashamed of that was like me not loving myself. And that was very difficult for me to experience because I was going through all the spiritual stuff. I was in the new age stuff. I was doing the whole gamut of a lot of us that wake up and we go deep into whatever. It could be either a festival, it could be yoga studios, it could be getting certification in any of this. But what happened is that I was just following spirituality again, like a religion. And so my ancestors are like, no, like we've always been spiritual, just our culture is spiritual. If anything, like go back to your ancestors' roots so you can love why we did everything for you to be alive today. And that like hit so hard that I realized that, and we joke around because our parents are kind of arranged marriage. And so some of us, don't know how it feels to be loved because our parents necessarily didn't love themselves the way that, a lot of today's couples have chosen to love and marry out of love. We grew up with an age where you were assigned a partner and then you just made it work. And so we believe that our parents were just having kids because it was their duty as Asians to have kids. And so now I'm like waking up and realize, no, my story is a love story. My story is Mother Earth and Father Sky fell in love and made humans. And then the sky people came down and say, we love what you're doing here. Here's our culture. And so the Asian picked up their culture and this is who we are. And so our ancestors, even, my parents chose to leave Vietnam during the communist revolution, right? Recognizing that communism was going to take away what we were. And so this a couple months ago, I just went to Vietnam with my family in a cruise, a big cruise together. And it hit me. I was seeing Vietnam, but post-communism. And I'm a child of that war that came from America. And here I was dressed Asian, have the full on, facial hair. And even my uncles and aunts are like, wow, you look like Ho Chi Minh. I go, okay, that's the worst metaphor, guys. And go, fine, you look like the original Vietnamese guy who did Urs. I'm like, yes, thank you. Way better than Ho Chi Minh, right? But what was weird is that even the Vietnamese community, they're looking at me, they go, wow, you look so Asian. I go, yeah, why aren't you looking more Asian? Right. And so that's when I started to realize that the shame that we have for our heritage was seeping into our own culture, even in Vietnam. And so for me to now represent, my culture, acupuncture, Chinese medicine, Eastern medicine, I just felt even more love for it because now that is considered pseudoscience and barely anyone talks about it. It was like me trying to keep this heritage alive. And not just that, but I had the past lives for it. I had the parallel lives for it. And so if I am merging my spirituality with my life's purpose, and because I am a Virgo stellium, we are actually built to be healers, right? Scorpios and Virgos tend to be like the most powerful healers because they're willing to play in the shadow realm. Scorpios are psychologists. They love to fuck with people's minds and to fix it. And then Virgos, and I love Scorpios. And then Virgos,
6 out of 13 Scorpio over here.
exactly. Like, and it's because you're taking the medicine yourself to understand how deep this rabbit hole goes. Because that's how we heal. We heal from a space of healed. And so for me, I went through the material healing of the medicine and eating better and having better vibrations. And so that's kind of where I am today. Is even today, like I chose not to just walk around saying I'm a doctor of acupuncture. Even the word doctor, I was frustrated at because of what we know doctors are doing today and their lack of integrity in the way they treat patients, right? And so I had to even take that name back and say, no, I'm going to say I'm a doctor, but like I don't have to refer myself as, the doctors of the West, right? And so in my developing my process of being a healer, I then kind of went into, no, actually, I do astrology, I do pranic healing, I do all these other modalities on top of acupuncture. So I've chosen to kind of go into the wellness coach space. Well, I'm going to help with the lifestyle changes and help you with your routines and help you with even mind frame, because a lot of people have the wrong perception of reality. And so they might hate reality when, in fact, reality is created for them. So why are you hating the reality rather than loving it so much that you are creating out of love? And so for me, I'm a video game designer who realized I'm playing the greatest video game in the universe. And when I was making VR and making suits, I'm like, wait. You're going to tell me I'm going to put an exoskeleton suit to play in a digital world where literally I'm already feeling this reality and everything is like a video game. Like the idea that Farmville is to teach you how to grow plants was silly to me, yet everyone paid a ton of money in that game. So I was like, wait, then why aren't we doing this to farm? Why are we not growing a ton of food? Because that's the video game. My perspective is very much, a loving perspective of like, this game is fun. And the shitty stuff that happens to us always tells me, oh, there's a gift I'm waiting to get. A lot of people go, how come you can see things that way? Because I always know from everything that's happened to me, there's always a gift at the end of the challenge. So why would you ever see a challenge as a bad thing happening to you? Because I would just like, ooh, it's Christmas time. They're like, what? What do you mean, Charlie? Like, this happened to you. You lost everything. I'm like, I know, but that means everything I've lost, I will get back in a different way. And most people don't think that way. And that's where I want people to fall in love with their story, fall in love with your astrology, fall in love with the genetics. Even if you think your parents didn't have sex and make love to have you, technically, and I've done this and I've talked to my family about this because my dad was there during the war. So he many times he almost was killed, a couple of like bullets grazing by his head. And so a lot of times he would say, yeah, like something like made me do this, do that. And so I wasn't killed. And I was like, and so at the time that was my sister who wasn't born yet, who was born at the end of the war. And I go, see, she was trying to protect you, dad, from dying because she wanted to come for you guys. because we wanted to come out of your genetics, right? And so if we saw ourselves as we chose our parents to come through, and it doesn't matter that they may not love each other now or at the time, but like that moment was made out of love so that you can come into this world. And a lot of people say that, like, I didn't choose my parents. That's bullshit. You chose your parents because before you were chose your parents, you were spirit. You were not a soul and you were not a body, right? You got the body because you helped them fall in love somehow for that day or that 24-hour period. And so that was really important for me to experience too, because my parents are divorced, and so I've struggled with relationship because I had this, divorced, especially Asian parents. I had a divorced parents, right? And so even in our family, we don't talk about that because it looks bad that our parents are divorced. So there's shame all over in my culture, in my family. And so for me, it was like, how do I heal that shame? Because I don't feel like I chose any of this out of spite or bad karma or something negative. If anything, I chose all this because I love this experience. And so that was really an important understanding of really waking up first consciously. And then second, to choose to love consciously, because that's the most important part, is like, it's easy to love your significant other. It's easy to love your family. It's not easy to love the one who made you lose everything, but then caused you to gain everything when you woke up. And that we have to recognize, that those who are villains in our stories are not always villain in theirs, or vice versa. There's some days when I'm having a bad day and I'll be feeling bad for that. But if I triggered someone for their awakening because that one day I felt very bad, then I should actually appreciate that day I felt bad because I woke up somewhere, right? And so I think a lot of people think that this waking up process is easy and it's fun. No, it's the worst. But it is in your
Actually,
ability
the
to,
worst can
yeah, it is the
confirm.
worst, because it's right, the idea that ignorance is bliss. Yes, it is, y'all. It is. Ignorance is bliss, because you don't know that you don't know how to love until you lose everything and realize what it takes to love, right? And I think people take that, think, oh, I love you because you did something good to me. No, actually, being able to say, I love you because you caused me to wake up and heal myself is way more powerful, because out of the pain that you experience, you can still love someone for it. And I think that's much more powerful, because it just shows that love is more powerful than all the pain you can ever experience in one lifetime. And so even in my medicine, like, it's very important that when I treat people, I treat people. I don't treat their symptoms. I say, hey, I love you for where you're at. A lot of times people judge when they have patients come in. And I know the counterparts of my own Asian people, I've run into them, and the way they speak to their patient, I'm like, hey, just because your doctor does not give you the right to act that way on them, you are still a person. You still have problems. Love them the way you want to be loved. Otherwise, you can't treat them correctly. Because a lot of times, doctors have a superior complex. And that's frustrating, because your patients don't respect you when you see them. And I know that most. Every patient always sees their doctors, but it's your doctor who's just like a friend who you can talk and tell them everything you're doing wrong, is much more of an open relationship than like trying to hide to your doctor that, like, yeah, I don't do anything bad. And then you wake up late, you go to sleep late, you're doing all kinds of drugs, you're doing all kinds of, that is not loving you, because you're not choosing your doctor to be on your team. You are lying to them because you believe that they're better than you, so you can't show them that you're fucked up, right? And that was really, really hard for me, because I'm like, hey, I've got a degree, but I am not better than you, actually. If anything, we're both on the same journey together. And if I can help you with this, great, because I'm sure you can help me with something I don't understand. So that's kind of like my journey of loving myself, loving my medicine, loving my ancestors, who are really very crowded these days, but they love cheering me on, because, they joke around, they're like, good, someone's wearing Asian clothes again. I was like, wow, okay, I love you for that, because I was very embarrassed of looking Asian back in the days. And so for me to be an adult today and be the rare Asian that's choosing to wear Asian outfits still and to represent my Asian culture, I do feel ironically like I'm alone in this battle, which I'm not, but I do feel that way, because again, like, not a lot of us are living from an authentic genetic perspective.
Oof, let me take a breath for a second. I feel like that was a TED talk. Like a really, really epic. No, I'm so serious, Charlie. You brought me to emotion so many times. I want to respond to some things you said, and then I'll let you respond, and then I'll ask our next question. Number one, like, thank you. Thank you for your work, for your light, for your medicine, for your authenticity. I knew you'd been awake, conscious for a long time. I didn't realize it was 2012. Like, that's when we really look at kind of like these awakening waves that we're currently seeing. Like, that's like the OGs to us, you know? Like, we're the 2020 wave, but you know, the 2012ers, like, y'all have been holding this down for over a decade. And that's, I can't imagine, you know, I can't empathize with what that was like for you. You know, the last person we interviewed also woke up around 2012. And I mean, that's just like, it's such a long time. And I imagine now you're looking around and you're like, yes. You know, we were talking about it before the episode. Like, finally, you know, people are finally waking up. Like, it's not woo-woo, you know, it's not alternative medicine. Like, it's the original medicine. And so just thank you, first and foremost, for all that work that you've been doing and living in your truth. And, you know, something really powerful you said that's just like, at the forefront of my mind, as you said, like living in your grand design, right? Like you weren't listening. So the universe will, through magical and beautiful grace, which is a very divine and difficult concept to understand from our human perspective, right? Grace, just like love, doesn't always look like unicorns and rainbows. The universe will support you and strip away what is not serving your highest timeline or your grand design, as you called it. And so learning to listen to that heart, right? Listen to that and cultivate that mind-heart coherence especially. But it's been such a huge part of our journey is like stripping away the things that we're doing because we think we should or because, you know, society says we should and all these different things. And it's like, what does my heart want? You know, and so much of what you were saying, I was getting really emotional. You know, I love that your journey's been so cultural and ancestral. You know, for me, it hasn't been. It's been very spiritual, as yours has as well, but like I haven't had that cultural ancestral tie. And something you were talking about was, you know, just healing all of these different limiting beliefs and, you know, shame and traumas, but for me, you know, when I was called to ministry a year ago, like that word, like just like you were saying about doctor, which ironically, I'm in a doctorate's program now, so I'm gonna get to heal that one too. But the word minister, I was like, oh God, like I know how people feel about that word and how I feel about that word, and like claiming that, reclaiming and healing that title that like I can be a minister that preaches love and faith and devotion and whatever version of source is appropriate for you being accepted. You know, I don't have to preach the dogma and the fear and the hell and the shame and guilt and traditional things that some, not all, of the traditional, you know, religious system preach. And so thank you for just sharing all of that. I think there was so many nuggets in there for people to really dig into. And you know, you're such a brave soul, and I'm just so grateful for your light in this world, and you know, to have such a impactful light warrior in my life. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. One thing real quick too about the ancestral, it doesn't happen right away because there's a hierarchy of what you release to access the deeper wisdom. Like the first you have to realize goes your own ego of what it is that you're creating that isn't fulfilling your ego. And then after you go through that, you go through family healing. You have to deal with the families that brought you into this place that are bloodline related because they're resonating to your same vibration. And so when you come to love them for where they're at, doesn't matter. They don't need to understand you. They don't even need to know you're going through this crazy journey. You just have to love them where they're at. And then when you heal that, then the ancestors show up and go, okay, now that you've got through your parental issue, it's time that you understand your genetic line. And that's where I think some of us who have been around for the decade, a lot of us and a lot of us came together very quickly. And then we exploded very quickly too, because I think many light workers had to be spread to where they needed to go, right? We can all resonate and hang out in California, right? If anything, that's why everyone's left California and they're moving to their nodes. And that's important because that's when like the next level of mission works happen, right? So grid work and all that. And that's why, I appreciate this process because as much as I've been in it too, I'm still in it. And I have grace for those who are waking up and just trying to support them too, because they're going to go through definitely their, your own little issues of like the ABCs before you realize, okay, none of that was actually real. Let's go past that. And there's different levels. That's why I love where everybody's at in their own journey.
Yeah, thank you for that context. My ancestors came online with ayahuasca, pretty common experience. And one thing you said, we can just kind of giggle if anyone listening has history or experiences with their ancestors. I call them my cheer squad. I do all the time. And I conceptually, obviously, it's really hard to put these things into words, but I experience it as just this like field. I mean, there's so many of them, and they're just like, yes. I always see this and hear like, yes, go, yes, you're doing it. Like, do the family line healing. We've been waiting for you. But I want to give you a chance to share some thoughts before we get into medicine.
I mean, thank you, brother, for coming on here and sharing your heart and sharing your story, because we could make probably 10 episodes just lightly touching on everything that you covered in your story there. But one thing that really struck me was the ancestral work and overcoming of the shame in that line, because as a mixed Hispanic and Asian person myself, I look like neither, right? I look very much like I was born in the US and of this culture. And it's so interesting in like really sitting with, who we are as people, especially in the US. You start to see this sort of conformity where everybody feels like we all need to fit this mold. And we start looking for, the approval from external sources, and we lose that connection with our inner guidance and our roots and where we came from, right? And when we start to lean away from pleasing everybody else and being honest and authentic with who we are, it's insane how quickly information comes to us, right? Because when we're talking about our purpose and we're talking about living from our gifts and living in our genetics, those blueprints cannot be found anywhere else other than within ourselves. And it isn't until we sit down with ourselves and start saying, who am I? Why am I here? What can I contribute to this world, that this information starts to flow in, And that's when I started getting, from my ancestral line, like, oh yeah, healing. We know how to do Reiki. We know how to do,
Cooking.
Scorpio. Scorpio, you know how
Cooking
to
is
walk
medicine.
through the shadow land, as you were talking about, and do that deep shadow work for yourself so that you can learn to help others walk that journey too and be a Sherpa through that experience. Cooking came very quickly to me, which I've tried many times and failed at cooking so many times. Like half frozen salmon was one of the first things I cooked her
Like 5 years ago when we
five
were
years ago.
plant-based.
And it was interesting, like when I made the commitment to really cooking for us and eating and living a healthy lifestyle, one of my ancestors from Indonesia came through to me and was like, I'm a chef, and literally downloaded into me all of this knowledge. We have this opportunity to break away from the molds that we've been trained to fit into in this matrix, and really birth in excellence and exquisiteness into this world. And when we start to celebrate everybody's uniqueness rather than judge one another, and that starts by stopping judging ourselves, right? We can't interact with anybody else in a way that's different than we're already interacting with ourselves. So when we learn to love and accept ourselves, we can learn to allow other people to show up as their authentic selves, to show up and be who they're meant to be. And so thank you for having the courage to really listen to your inner guidance and show up in your full authentic heritage and your full authentic expression, regardless of what other people think. And even in your own culture, like you were saying, there's almost like the shame and the stigma of like we can't be in our own culture because then we don't fit in. And what a shame would it be? Like the true shame isn't the shame of, oh no, we're not going to fit in. The true shame would be losing a culture due to wanting to fit in. Like all of that ancestral heritage, all of that knowledge, like that's the real shame. And if we can really put importance on going back to our roots, going back to this original medicine, and allowing that to be birthed into this world, then I think that we're going to be heading in the right direction.
Yeah. One of the things that you guys were mentioning, and I've been struggling with this as much as everybody else has been struggling with it. The law of manifestation is a lie, everybody. Actually, when you are living in your own divine code, the reason why things are attracted so quickly is because you are source. And when you trust that you are source, you are living your code, everything shows up for you. You don't have to do anything. Right? Because the law of abundance works with you as already being source. And so when you are in your natural design, everything is already written for you. It's the fact that you aren't working on your natural design that you have to make up manifestations to make you feel good about what is happening to you. But as soon as I owned what I was being and I was just walking around, I didn't go, hey, I'm a doctor, I'm a this, I'm a that. People found me and go, oh, I love your energy. What do you do? I didn't sell anything yet. I was just being authentic. I was just being myself. I was just, loving my experience. And so people recognize when people love who they are, because then you're like, if you love medicine, you probably can help with medicine. Right? Versus like you probably meant like, oh man, I hate my job. I do not want to get treated by you then. Because if you hate your job, it's probably not good, right? Versus like when you love your job, you can't help it. You can't help talk about it. You can't help like see people. Sometimes for me, it's just like, how do I hold my tongue? Because I want to give you a reading right now, a treatment right now, because I'm talking to you. And then people are like, Charlie, I didn't ask for this. I'm like, oh, sorry. I have to like quiet down because you can't help but express that energy. And so when I express that energy, and that's why I was saying like everything just happened to me now. Like I don't sit down and write manifestation journals or laws of attraction. Everything is based on like I am abundant, I am who I am, I'm a healer and I accept it and I love it. And everything clicked after that. And so that's the power that we have innately. And we don't need to take classes, 8, 10 hour classes of how to attract abundance to you. You are abundance. And I think this is where we have to get to that point where we need to redo a lot of these concepts, right? Because people are making tons of money out there for a lot of these concepts that people keep having to pay into the system because they believe it to be true, so they manifest it to be true, right? But I don't believe that, and that's the thing, that the idea of original medicine is written because from the get-go, source said, you have everything. Go and be like me, right? Go and be the ref what is it, the mirror? We are like God because like we're image of God, right? That means we have all they them our skills. And so I think that's very important to understand our original medicines, because original medicine wasn't written during a time of lack, but it was written during a time of abundance.
Oof, that last sentence, I just want to give that space for a second. Original medicine wasn't written during a time of lack. It was written during a time of abundance. So I want to dig in a little bit, because let's just assume maybe listeners don't know what we mean when we're saying original medicine, right? So first and foremost, I'd love if you could kind of touch on that, and I want to caveat that with, acknowledging, I want to choose my words carefully here. Humanity is in a challenging time right now, and we can look at this from many angles. We can look at this from a spiritual angle, and the ascension and purge process that's happening physically. Like we are collectively, very unhealthy physically and very detached from, our food and the sacredness of our food and what we put in our bodies. And so there's so much. I mean, most people want to blame the food, right? I feel like that's an easy thing to blame, right? Because we don't want to take responsibility. Here's the thing. You can eat a perfectly clean, organic, plant-based diet. We do. And this was our case, a few years ago. And if you are not cleansing and healing the real problems, which are usually trauma in the body and, energy and past lives and yada yada, all these different things, you're not going to be healthy. And so we are seeing this. I don't even really honestly think epidemic does justice to it. If you have a better word, I welcome it. But like this epidemic of dis-ease, right? Of people that are so far outside of the center of health and vibration and frequency and the way that, flow was intended to be in the body in all forms. We're so far out of that. Again, this is generally and just general collective that we see this dis-ease, and people are like, oh, well, it's the food and it's this and it's that. And I have a feeling, sneaking suspicion, original medicine, from what I've experienced, we have had many experiences with, Chinese medicine and acupuncture and herbs. It's been honestly one of the biggest part of our stories. We did a really intense, I think it was like 6 months, 3, 4, 6 months
Something like that.
of doing acupuncture every week with microdosing psilocybin therapy, and a few other things combined. And that was the most profound phase of our healing. I mean, just catapulted us forward. And so it's very holistic, is the point I'm trying to make, is the word that comes to mind. And so I want to hear from you in your words, because you are much more educated on this than I am, to kind of help people understand, what is original medicine? What is, traditional medicine, and all these different words? It can get really confusing, and how that holistically, looks at a person. Because I don't want to give our listeners the impression in any capacity, I want to be really freaking clear right now, like the food is not the problem, right? The this is not the problem. Like, it's a holistic what is inside of us.
One thing that reminds me of a transformational quote I did recently from an old idiom. You've heard of "we are spirits in a human experience." There's a problem with that because we've stigmatized what it is to be human. So actually, I tell people, no. We are souls having a spiritual experience because we're not having a human experience. Because the problem is, if we were having a human experience, sure, food would be the problem. But if we're having a spiritual experience, vibration is the problem. And this actually goes now to a study I looked into. They were feeding mice the junk food, the processed sugars to the mice. Half of the mice got fat, half of the mice didn't. So they're like, hey, what's happening to these mice that didn't get fat? Turns out the guy who was feeding them was playing with them, petting them, loving them before he fed them processed sugar. So what I'm trying to say is, you guys can have the conversation of eating toxins and all that, but the vibration you create of what you're eating, again, love. If you love what you're eating, even though it came from an animal, you love that animal. That animal, before it died, will feel that love, even if it is in the future, because everything's connected and everything is source and God. You're still sending love to the animal before it died. So that animal is part of me and is in my team now, living my perspective of reality because the vibration is now in me. It is not happening to me. I am choosing to have that vibration part of me. So I'm choosing to love, because when the food is in front of me, all it wants to say, I love you. I want you to eat me. And I was like, I want to eat you. I love you. And in that moment, you are breaking the karmic cycle of vibration. With that said, vibration, vibration, vibration. So if we now go back to original medicines, it's really funny because I still remember my favorite teacher. I'm having fundamentals of TCM 101, and he's describing stuff and he goes, doctor, doctor, how did we all know this? Old men go mountain, he come down mountain, he know everything. We believe ancient aliens, but it's okay, different story. And I go, yes, I'm in the right place. It is ancient aliens that has shared this. Because, but not just that, actually, there is also another ability that we had before we turned it off. We spoke to everything, including our food, including our internal organs. So a lot of people who say, hey, Chinese medicine, there's no proof that you understood your organs. I go, you have no proof that you can't talk to your organs. Energy follows attention. This is why we meditate internally, because we're moving qi internally into our bodies. So if you understand that the organs have emotions, that stores your emotion, you can have a conversation with your cells, right? Because your cells are God. So you're having an internal conversation with your cells and with your organs. And so in original medicine, I really believe that many of our ancient civilizations were seeded by galactics because they were trying to raise the vibration of the planet. And really, I believe that there's a lot of warring factions of ETs that decided, hey, if we can't get along because we're racially different, what if we brought in one race with all the cultures all at once and see how they solve it, right?
Sounds like an experiment or a fun game.
Exactly, right? And so someone created this giant MMORPG that's going on the planet, put in a whole bunch of their, collective consciousness and education and give it to us. And so what cultures did it because of where they're located, where they're at, right? That's why the idea of melanin and skin color is silly because your environment gave you those abilities. This is why, like, the idea of cold plunging, you notice that not a lot of dark-skinned people go into cold plunging, but all of the light-skinned people love cold plunging because why? Light-skinned people love the cold. That's why they live in the north and in the, Nordic people. And this is why dark-skinned people love the sun and they don't get burned as much as light-skinned people. Genetics gives you abilities for your environment. Same thing with like the Asian culture. And so original medicines, I believe, are the medicines that we experience in our culture that allows us to thrive till this day. Like, we're not 8,000 years old, y'all. Like, it's silly to think we're only 8,000 years old. Throw away the carbon dating. That's a giant lie. The idea, even like bones, like, who knows when those bones were and how those bones come together, right? Even ancient images in Egypt, they were made in stone. So you couldn't just erase it and say, oh, no, that's not how we looked. So we have been seeded by many galactics. And I think this is why we're waking up to this idea that we are not just terrestrial, we are galactic terrestrial beings. And so this original medicine has been passed down because it's so advanced, it sounds like fucking magic, y'all. Okay? And let me tell you, acupuncture sounds like fucking magic until you realize
It
that
feels like fucking magic.
right. But did you know that there's a reason why in California you need physics class to take as acupuncture? Why? Because physics explain electromagnetism in the body. You are an electric being. Why? Why would you have iron in your blood if you're not electrical? Right? And not just that, when your heart stops, what do? They send an electrical signal to turn it back on. You are electrical. Why are all of our needles made of metal? They must be metal because they conduct electricity. What I'm trying to say is we're the most advanced vessel in the universe, yet people are saying we're stupid and dumb and just cut up things that don't work. We can regenerate. You guys seen that with mushrooms and regenerating the brain. Yet Western science says you cannot regenerate neurons. Lie, right? Again, original medicine give us all the skills to be divine. And modern medicine, education, religion, everything has been constantly telling us gaslighting. We only use 10% of our brain. Oh, we have sin, and so we need to like come to you guys to take out sin. We have all these problems. Yet ironically, like, kids are born like connected to the source, and it's what we do to their bodies that disconnects them, right? If anything, most of the time today, the greater, deeper conversation of psychology is not to add good things in your life, but to remove the bad things you believe are bad to you, right? And that's why we raise our vibration by releasing negative, stagnant energy. We do this in Qigong, Reiki, any energetic practices. We actually will remove energy from our field because it's electricity with magnetism. So this auric field is magnetic. That's why there's proof that the auras and the chakras exist because you can measure them through a magnetoscope or something that measures magnetic fields, right? I started to do the voltage meters on my body. And then when you ground your feet, You literally have channels that go down to the bottom of your feet, and they send excess energy down to the ground. Because a lot of times, most of us have upper chakra problems because we're overthinking and we're not using our bodies to think for us. Right? People think that thinking happens in the brain. It doesn't happen only in the brain. You have a gut instinct, so that's part of your brain, and you have neurons in your heart, part of your brain. So technically, your whole body is actually processing information. And that is the real power of spirit. It's using your whole body to do inputs, not the brain who is connected to all of these five senses. That's why clairaudience, clair abilities, all are from what auric fields. And I do this because when I do look at astrology, I will tell you what elements you're connected to and go, you probably have these two clair abilities right away to go, how do you know this? And I would ask them to go, yeah, I do that. Your clair abilities are on. Because it's spiritual, it is not just physical, right? And so original medicine used to look at the mind, body, spirit, and emotions as one holistic body. So when we do talk about original medicine, and I use original medicine because a lot of people call it indigenous native medicine, and I think we're moving beyond just because indigenous, we tend to think about Native Americans, but there's Native French, Native Asians, Native everything. We all come from somewhere where our genetics did really well. We're all now modern day migration of humans. And because of that, it's easy to lose sight of what our genetics brings. Our genetics has the entire textbooks, right? We just have to understand, like you were able to go, I want to go into cooking. And when you made that conscious connection, your genetics opened up. And your genetics opened up. So now your ancestors feel your genetics open up and they get a beacon. They go, hello? Oh, it's my nephew. He's learning how to cook. Let's go and send him some help because he called me from his genetics. Because before you weren't conscious about it, you were just doing it because you had to feed yourself. And then you realize, no, food is my medicine. Let's trigger it. Your genetics happened. Your ancestors got called. And that's why you're having this more conscious experience. And I think the word conscious too, like love, gets thrown too much. Oh, be more conscious this, a conscious that. Dude, it's really hard to be fully conscious because everything you do, you're not allowed to take yesterday's perspective into account because then you're no longer being conscious. This is why a lot of times when we create habits, you're like, oh, I just did that because I'm so used to it. You're not being conscious. At that moment, you still have to decide whether you're going to do it or not. But those people who say, I know this is bad food for me, but I don't have time to cook, so I'm just going to keep eating it. You are choosing consciously to eat the bad food because you're choosing not to change that. And calling it a bad habit doesn't take away the fact that you're conscious of this bad habit. Right? That's why loving consciously is not easy, y'all. It is one of the hardest thing, but that's why I felt like God's like, hey, you guys are spoiled. I'm gonna take love away from you and how easy it is to love. See what it feels like not to have love. And we all experienced this for the last 12,000 years, y'all. Since Atlantis blew up, we have not really experienced love the way Source has wanted to love us. Because, like, just like a parent who's teaching that kid to not spoil that kid, they're biting their tongue, bleeding because they can't say anything because they love their child so much, or they're choosing not to say something because that child has to learn something. This is us here down here on the planet. God loves us. But he's crying so hard because we repeat patterns that we know better. And we go, God, can you fix me? God's like, I send you people all the time, but you're choosing consciously to say, no, this bad habit is more important than me choosing to change it. And that's why it's very important that original medicine to me is like how we genetically were able to survive till today. That's why, like, all of us. Because we followed original medicine, this is why there's billions of us, y'all. Because today, with the food we're eating, with the medicine, with the living arrangement, you guys notice we have a down rate of birth. We're not having more babies. We're not having more children. That means we're stagnating our culture and we're killing ourselves because we don't believe that our children could be the hopes of our future because we are causing pain in our life that we're like, why are we bringing children? Right? It's because we're not loving our experience. And I think that's why original medicines need to come back because modern medicine has been censored for many lifetimes Now, I don't think it's just the West. The West originally, even when I did my studies for acupuncture, they told me read how the Greeks used to study medicine. What? They studied the same shit we did. Exactly. The Greeks used to follow the four humors, the four elements, poop, pee, spit, and blood, which we pay attention to in TCM, and that's how we judge your patterns of disease. The West, the Greeks did it. So why today does the West not take into account is because of the censorship, bastardization of our culture. And the communists did that to us in the Asian culture. So I do believe there's been many censorship of the original medicines. And that's why today, while we go back to acupuncture and herbs, and they still work because our genetics hasn't improved that much because we actually are outsourcing everything. That's why our genetic is evolving.
That was a really, really profound and beautiful description of original medicine. Thank you for that. And I literally, like, someone, I don't know, wants this to be said on this episode. I just kept hearing, like, we are the original medicine. We are the original medicine. And also love. And that's definitely the last question, I want to get into and just hear your perspective on love as the original medicine. Like, when you're talking about acupuncture, especially, we mentioned it, but for me, my experience in kind of waking up and remembering original medicine and all of these different things was, this acupuncture experience of, like, kind of desperation of, hey, I'll try it. And it just happened to coincide with, psilocybin therapy we were doing. And it was, I don't even think I could find the words ever to do justice to the profound metaphysical, spiritual, ancestral experiences that I had in that, in going into my cells, into my body, and, like, finding the trauma, finding the distortion, finding the whatever it may be, the toxin sometimes, and, like, removing it, like, consciously myself, like, moving it in and out and through. And this year, my journey, the activation for me has been around this. And I don't think you and I have had a chance to talk about it much, but, like, I had a severely infected cystic, we know at least 5, upwards of 8-year-old root canal that was found in my mouth. And I obviously had it surgically removed, like, 2 days later. And in that experience, I was like, well, I don't do traditional Western medicine anymore. And I'm not dogging that. I think it has a place, as does everything. But for me personally, it was like, that's just not an option. I don't have health insurance, nor would I ever pay for health insurance. And I'm really on this traditional medicine. My doctor at that time was my acupuncturist. And so through that experience, I did my own plasma. They, like, created my own plasma from drawing my blood and injected it and sewed it in there. And then I did, oregano oil and bee propolis and all these different herbs, and just conscious awareness. Like, I just consciously chose to be healed and to live in the vibration of being healed. And when I tell you, I mean, miracle doesn't even describe, like, it miraculously healed. I mean, in days, I was where most people would be in a month. And within, my 1 month kind of checkup, like, the bone was already fully grafting. And I didn't do a bone graft. I did that on my own. And then I had some liver stuff come up, and that was a really ancestral spiritual experience, which is when I really learned, the anger and the emotions being tied to the organs, and working with, milk thistle and all these different things, and having an ascended master come to Eric and, like, give me a new liver, which is a whole other story. But, and then I broke my foot. Well, I didn't think it was broken. My acupuncturist did this really cool tuning fork test, and he was like, it's definitely
Oh,
broken.
nice,
But
nice.
yeah, and I mean, what would have been probably, like, 6 months off my foot, I was learning to walk at, like, week 9, week 10. And I did all of that with, like, traditional Chinese medicine, bone set herbs, and Reiki, like, so much Reiki. I mean, I would lay in bed and it was bone crushing pain, right? And I would consciously and, envision myself putting my bones back together. And so I share all of these examples with the listeners, because, like, this is the power of original medicine. This is the power of our medicine, of our consciousness, of living in the vibration of love. Like, had I not been so intently focused this year on love, I mean, it's everything we do, right? Like, obviously with the show, but had I not been in the vibration of love as much as I was, I'm not perfect, And using these original medicine techniques and my consciousness all three together, I mean, I watched miracles happen. And what I was told in that, and it was confirmed in my astrology and by Rachel, who I know you know as well, of is like, I'm really being called this year to remember that I can heal myself. You know, I don't need any medicine. Like, I'm the medicine. Like, when you really integrate that, profound stuff. But for me, something I would love to give you a chance to respond, but I really want to dig in on this last section on love and the power of the medicine that is love.
Yeah, I mean, these original medicine modalities are beautiful in that they are tools, right? They're tools and modalities. They are not a pill that we take to make something go away. You know, it's deeper systemic healing that we're able to do using these modalities. And I would encourage people who are open to or starting to explore these modalities like acupuncture or Reiki or herbs or crystals or whatever resonates with you, that we don't approach the healing with original medicine from the same mindset that we would from the Western medicine, and that we're going to acupuncture for them to fix me with needles, right? Or we're going to the crystals. Hey, crystals, help me heal. Do the thing. Oh, this one's for anxiety. Great. I'm just gonna hold it, and you're gonna take away my anxiety. I'm never gonna have to deal with it.
Giving the power away.
Right? That's the same thing about giving our power away and living from that victim mentality. What these modalities offer us is an opportunity to do the healing work ourselves, to go into our house and rebuild, right? And remodel kind of the parts of ourselves that are needing a facelift, or that, you know, the floorboards are kind of coming up and are rotted out, and we need to go in and do that. And acupuncture is the hammer, and healthy food is the paint, and, you know, whatever it may be. You know, this is obviously an analogy, but like, we have to work with these medicines consciously with our awareness. When we started acupuncture, there was results, there was healing that happened. And there was a distinct moment for myself when I started to consciously go in to each session with an intention and a focus, saying, I'm working on this. Please, you know, put the needles here. This is what the intention is. And these little antennas sticking out of my body, right? It's like a direct connection to source, and God's like, oh great, I can come in and boop, 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 boop. And it was almost like a conversation with God. And each one of these sessions was unique and different in that I was able to really work on and release really deep patterns within myself. And that's what all these, you know, plant medicine, any modality that we work with, we co-create our healing. And that is the most important thing I can think of to share on this, is just like, we have to take ownership of our own healing and co-create with all of the opportunities that are around us.
You'll love this, Charlie. Our acupuncturist, by the way, he's you're gonna love this. Well, actually, it's Master Love because he has his master's, and his wife is Dr. Love. Their last name is Love. So
Wow, that's
they're
cool.
yeah, the acupuncture office, I have to shout this out, is Love Acupuncture. It's in Portland, Oregon,
Wow, that's
where we used to
cool.
live. And I mean, we're friends now. We have his number. We just text him, hey, can we come in? And you know, we have that relationship now, but he jokes like we were his favorite patients, you know, and I mean, he got to see us go through a massive journey. I'll never forget the day he was like, the darkness has finally left your chi. Like it's finally, you know, that's not there anymore. But we were the ones, I mean, as we do with everything, I'm sure you've gotten to know us by now. Like we're full send kind of people. And so I was like, I want you to stick needles in my ovaries. I want you to stick needles in my neck. I want you to stick needles in my liver, in between my toes, like whatever it was, you know, I'm like, just there's
And then
no,
shock them.
yeah. We did the shock therapy with him too. And he
Yeah.
nodded with me, but, anyways, we're off topic. Acupuncture is amazing. And you know, it makes me a little sad. I want to say this for listeners because I experience this a lot. We experience a lot. We say acupuncture to people and they're like, nah, I tried it. It didn't do anything. It was stupid. Or, oh, it's gonna hurt. And I think there's just like so many misconceptions. And it's that key piece of like, you're not just like limp laying there saying, okay, stick the needles in me and fix me. Like, that's why you didn't experience anything. Or it could be why I shouldn't, claim other people's experiences, but so maybe give it another chance. Like if you've done some form, herbs, acupuncture, Reiki, oh, Reiki's changed our lives. Some form of alternative, traditional, original medicine, give it another chance because as your consciousness grows, you have more capacity to connect with that. So just that offering for listeners. But Charlie, I would love on our last question here to hear from you. Any thoughts you have about all that? But, love is the original medicine. What do you think about that? And what do you think about, offering to our listeners? Like, all of these things are great. Consciousness is great, and these modalities are great, and it's all wonderful. But love is at the core of everything we are, right? Like, God is love. We believe the fabric of the universe is unconditional love. And so, is love the original medicine? What do you think?
Yeah, I really think it is. And I wanted to actually summarize everything you guys said because it's also one of my big push to share in my own YouTube channel about why I am a doctor. And one of the things I tell people all the time is, I'm not fixing you. I'm not healing you. I am just reflecting the healing that's ready for you to experience. Because technically, I may know where to put the needles, but it is actually the electricity in your body that's turning your mind off so that your body can start healing, right? But a lot of times you actually need to love yourself enough to stop outsourcing your healing to somebody else, right? And so even in like trusting that your body's healing, a lot of people don't believe that. That's why they go to people like doctors and go, hey, fix me because I don't want to heal myself, right? And I'm not just paying you to like heal me. And that's the losing your power. And I think being able to love yourself is the first process. Self-love is very important because a lot of these diseases are actually because we are shamed into not loving ourselves. We already have an entire religion that talks about you are born with sin. So obviously, how can you love sin? So right away, that medicine of love is gone. So many of us parents are working when our children are born. So are the parents really showing up for their kids? And so if anything, like we've lost this ability to feel love, not to say the word love, but just to feel it and to be able to recognize what that feels like for ourselves, right? Because it is most of the time when I do find people coming in, yes, they're at the end's wits of medicine, and that's when they're actually starting the process of healing. Those who are told, oh, go check them out because somebody told them that they can heal that because they've healed it in that person. They won't believe it and they won't get the same effect because belief is important, right? Because it's energy that's moving in your body. And so a lot of times people who are desperate will believe anything, right? And that's why you're kind of getting the last ditch effort effect rather than I love this medicine and I believe it can work, so I'm going to find the right doctor who is going to put the right needles so my body can go through the healing process. When we put needles, we usually see what kind of deficiency, excess problems you have. Your body's energetic field, electricity current goes through your whole body every 20 minutes. Okay. So we're really putting needles down. And then after 20 minutes, the entire circuit hit all of your channels and will hit the needles that were there. Anytime you hit it will record it and go, hey, we have something that needs to get triggered. And so it will trigger that somewhere else and then it'll keep going. So after 20 minutes, it'll hit every needle and your body will say, hey, we just got called that these four things are having issues. Everybody go and deal with it. Your body's doing that. Your body is intelligent. It knows what it needs to do. And so the more you love your body, the more your body will do it. So many times have we heard ourselves, especially now that it's getting colder, be like, hey, don't go out there. You're going to get sick. Don't say you're going to get sick. Your whole body's heard that and go, we're gonna get sick. Oh shit. And then they all go into fight or flight. And then the whole body goes into like haywire. It goes, what happened? I thought we were getting sick. The body doesn't know you're messing around, right? It doesn't know how to take a joke because it sees your vibration. And so It's super important to speak, no, my body is healing and it is healed. And then when you tell that, the energy, the connection will trigger. And that's why loving yourself and self-love is super important. As we are moving to the age of Aquarius, where we are supposed to help each other and do stuff, the problem is if you haven't dealt with your own bullshit, you're going to just project that bullshit onto somebody else, and you're now going to be the people who spread bullshit, like in our old generation of Pluto and Aquarius, where we wanted someone, pay someone to deal with our bullshit, right? Like, hey, doctor, I don't want to deal with this. I'm going to pay you to deal with my bullshit. You just projected your shit onto them because you're not loving yourself enough to do the work for yourself to realize and to figure out, is food a problem? Is me working 80 hours a week a problem? Is me not loving my family and feeling shame for it my problem, right? And that's why you don't have people paying attention to their mental stability, their emotional stability, and their spiritual stability. If we were loving ourselves enough, we would recognize these were us still, my spirit, my emotion, and all that. And so the more we're in tune with that, the more you'll listen, and then the body will go, we want an acupuncturist. It's not your mind that's saying it, it's your body that will recognize it. And that's why when suddenly you see an acupuncturist, your body will start shaking and vibrating, going, oh, we know we're finally gonna connect it, right? And so it's you loving yourself enough to go, no, today, I say it all the time, Western medicine is like an abusive relationship. No, I don't care that they beat me every day and I have blood out of my orifices every day because I take this pill. I trust them more than like some crazy person out there who just putting needles into me, right? And again, it's possibly marketing for us. We should be saying we're healing you, and actually we don't. We say that we can offset the balance of your patterns because you are showing up imbalanced patterns. So we'll put the needles there to rebalance you, and then we walk away. The rest is done after we put the needles out, and the body goes, okay, we know how this feels like in balance, and we're going to rebalance ourselves. So why the reason why people who are way more involved in their health get way better reflection of their healing, because they love themselves enough to experience the healing effects. If you notice, people who actually keep taking prescriptions, you listen to how they feel about their body, it's always negative. And that's Masaru Emoto again, the power of water, and water has memory. The thoughts you send to your body, it records it. And the more negative energy it records, it creates mildew in the body. And mildew looks like cancer. And that's why I believe that most of our cancers are vibrationally created, because we don't love ourselves enough to change the vibration of this mold that we're creating called cancer, right? So I do believe love is the most powerful medicine, because the entire experience is created because Mother Gaia, Father Sky fell in love and created beings on the planet. And that's the most beautiful love story I experienced. As much as I love my parents, I get that my parents are just biological parents, right? But on this planet and in this experience, the power of Father Sky and Mother Earth, so beautiful that it gave us all of our abilities and everything to experience. And so the more we tune in to our own love for ourselves. And that's why self-care is important in this time, especially we have a full moon in Aries, everybody. We have the North Node in Aries. It just says that your identity and your perception and your who you are. And that's why I do astrology, because I tell people, hey, you're a Taurus rising. Your body's much more earthy. You need to resonate with the earth element to love yourself enough to heal yourself with that earth element, right? Because you'll love earth if you're an earth sign. And people are like, I don't believe that. Do you go out in nature? No. Well, then how can you love Earth if you're not even hanging out in nature, right? And, you know, we've always had this conversation that a lot of people aren't in nature, so they're not recognizing their abilities. Like, even people who are water signs, like both of you guys should be doing baths constantly. That's a way better way to heal the water element in your body, because you're a water element. And so naturally, you will psychically connect to the water vibration and work with them. So if you pour water, say, water, clear my energy, the water knows you because it recognizes itself, right? You are water, Pisces and Scorpio, so they're going to recognize that. It's important, know yourself to know how to heal yourself so that you can fall in love with yourself. And once you do that, you're already healed, because a healing will just, again, be attracted to you because it recognizes that you're healed. So it will send you the people that are here to reflect that healing for you to experience.
I just had an image of air signs sitting with a fan. Just
So does that mean fire signs are just gonna sit in the hot coals if
Yes,
somebody?
I've been told a few times to go, Charlie, you need to go be around a fire. I'm like, okay. And then after that came back from the fire, I go, I feel amazing. Because for me, as a fire signs, and I've been, when people say love and light, I go, yeah, but I like the shadow because I need fuel for my fire. I need the shit to burn. So I love dark things. That's why when people are like, oh, I don't like to be dark things. Oh, then you're probably not accessing the shadow transformation. Because shadow transformation is fire. Fire will transform things that need to die to turn back into the earth, but it uses that as fuel. So you can't have fire without negative things you need to transmute. And that's why shadow work, negative energy have a purpose in our life still. And so the more you love yourself, like your elements, the more you will actually vibrate to that element.
Yeah, that's really potent stuff. One of our favorite things to do is just sit there for hours and stare at a campfire together. Usually in silence. We just sit there and receive that medicine and the contemplation, which is something we do a lot these days. But thank you for touching on that and sharing that. Like, I love so much that you equated creation and all that is to like a love story, between. I want listeners to know, like, when we say father and mother, and we're talking about energy, right? Like, it's all energy, and you can use whatever words work for you. It's all celebrated and welcomed here. But I love that, like the original love story, right? And when we were deep, deep in our awakening, I remember it clear as day, and it was a really profound meditation, complete leaving of the body, and it loving consciously. Like, it came to me, I saw it, and I literally heard a voice, like your whisper, and it said, "It's a podcast now go." And I what I heard was, loving consciously, it's a podcast, and then now go teach them how to love. And I like came out of my meditation, and I was like, me? Like, what do you mean? Like, and it's been this journey of, coming back to all things, spirituality and consciousness and ancestors and plant medicine and original medicine and all of these things. But the key piece, and something that I love about what we are being given the opportunity to create in this show, is everything we've been able to tie back to love, right? Like, we've had people who are, like Ryan Sprague with conscious cannabis, and you with original medicine, and Rachel with astrology, which you also do astrology, but just these people that are just like so in their grand design of something. And we all still to this day, double digit guests on the show, we all come to the end of the episode and we're like, but it's all love. It all means nothing without love. You can have all of those things in your life, and without love, we have nothing. We are nothing, right? Like, because creation and earth and humanity and source, God, creator, like, it's all a big love story. And so thank you, Charlie, for being here, for sharing your perspectives. There was so much in this, and I just really encourage listeners to explore these things. Like, whatever, whatever stood out to you, like, dig into that further. And I'd love to give you space, both in this episode, it'll all go in the show notes, and then you a space to share your last thoughts. But where can people connect with you? What are your offerings? And tell us about Cosmic Labyrinth and all the different things that you're doing. I know you have your YouTube channel. Please plug all of those fun things so our listeners can connect to you.
You can find me on YouTube, Dr. Charlie Trin, The Self-Healing Journey. And that's also on Instagram as Cosmic Trinity, LinkedIn, Facebook, and all that. But the idea of Cosmic Labyrinth was taking my journey of astrology further. And what if, like, this whole experience was a giant video game, and astrology is how you are put into your grand design? So just like in Harry Potter, where you get the Gryffindor, the Slytherin, house, our astrology puts us into our house as well. And so we have taken the love that we have for our element to go and do ecotherapy into the world. So it's kind of like if the Captain Planet kids grew up and started a business, that would be us. We go to the four elements. And so, I do a lot of astrology and teaching people, like, hey, you're a superhero. the earth needs you. What are your gifts? The people are like, I don't know. Well, here's your astrology. You are this. So these elements, we can find them in what's missing here, right? And usually we're looking always for regeneration of land, regeneration of lakes or ponds or any waterways. We love regenerating. So right now we haven't touched energy just because energy is a big conversation. We're always really trying to go back to how our ancestors, our original civilizations connected to the four or five elements, you know, that creates everything for us. And that's how we're going to access and talk to these beings and spirit. And that's where we're going to have this deeper spiritual connection to source, because source is in everything. So the more we see nature, the more we're getting Mother Earth to talk to us, Father Sky who talks to us. And in that story, the cosmic labyrinth is just like a giant game expression of our reality. And so we have quests for people to try out to go and help out communities that need more hands-on farming. Because in this evolution of the Aquarian age, we're no longer going to have industries or leaders or corporations that run anything. It's going to be us, the regular people, coming together. So we found a way to decentralize, finding, you know, groups of people who can go, hey, we have all this like soil that's not being properly supported, and some people are asking for help there. Let's all go there. And so we can all go and support. And then we have music and we play. So we bring in the arts together because we believe that art and music was meant to be around the stuff that we consider work, but working on the land is not work. It is actually having communion with Mother Gaia, right? And so that is kind of our relationship with Mother Earth and Father Sky, is our astrology access gives us access to our relationship with them. So
Thank you
that
so much.
cosmiclabyrinth.world, everybody.
And I will put all of this in the show notes. Did you have
Yes.
anything you want to add before I close this out?
Yeah, I mean, I love so much that you were able to take your video game design background and be able to bring consciousness to it and bring, you know, this different perspective of like how can we capture all of our brothers and sisters who have been trained by this matrix, you know, myself included, for many years, to go and externalize our growth, right, into these worlds, into these fantasies, into these characters of like, oh, I want to go and I want to grow here, and I've reached the end. Okay, and I need to go find something else to stimulate me. I need to find something else to, you know, pour all of my energy and attention into. It's like, what if we put that energy and attention into growing ourselves? And like you said, you know, this we're living in the most beautiful video game that ever existed. Like, this world is magical. And we have the capacity to grow ourselves to be the best version of ourselves that we can be, you know, and we all have our own special characteristics and our own intuition and knowledge and gifts. And like you were saying, you know, it really changes the perspective of how we navigate through this life, because when we can see the challenges in our life as, oh, I'm going to get the treasure chest at the end of that. You know, I'm going to get that new skill. I'm going to get that new tool, that new item, whatever it may be. We move from a place of suffering, right? Of experiencing these challenges as suffering, to experiencing gratitude. Like, thank you, God, for this experience of losing everything, because now I get to build from the ground up, or I get to learn this lesson, which now helps me push forward even further on the next go. And it's like this dance that we have with the divine of constantly growing and evolving our souls and together building the most beautiful world that we can build. And at the core of it is this medicine of love. Like, thank you very much for bringing it back to that self-love. And the next step from that self-love is loving other people unconditionally. You know, that has been probably the most potent medicine in our partnership, has been the medicine of unconditional love, of being able to see your partner or your friend or your family member or your patient in the light of their experience, of everything that they're expressing, the good, the bad, all of it. And to be able to meet them with unconditional love, like we meet ourselves with unconditional love, that is profoundly healing for our brothers and sisters. And so remember that love is meant to be shared, not just to be given to ourselves, but to be like that same level of love needs to be given to everyone. And that sanctity of the word love, like, really sit with what does love mean? Because we say, oh yeah, I love fries, or I love
Why
to
don't you
go
marry
for a
it?
run, right? Yeah, it's like, what is love? Love is the power to radically accept somebody as they are and love them as they are, to allow them to see themselves and authentically express themselves where they would normally have the fear to do that. You know, it's by loving one another that we can all step forward into the light and be like, this is who I am. This is what I was meant to do. Great. I love you. Thank you so much for bringing that into this world. Here's who I am. Here's what I'm meant to do. And we can all build together from there.
Yes, exactly. Is the power of our love for ourselves that we'll have abundance to give to others. A lot of times people do not love each other because they hate parts of themselves. And so that will get projected versus, and that's why I love astrology. When astrology told me how unique I was, I loved my chart and realized I should love everybody's chart, because if I can love my chart, I would love your chart too. And that's when I really healed my own aspect of loving other people from loving myself truthfully, like really honestly. I think a lot of people say, I love myself, and people don't realize what that means. No, it's when you're crying, you're hurting, you're bleeding, and you go, oh, I love myself for having this experience. And you really believe it. Because once that happens, you'll really see everybody like a version of yourself. And that gets us closer to God. That gets closest to the fact that I see God in you because God is in me, and I love that part of myself, and I am abundant, so I am passing this abundance to you. And that's where we're really meant to be in the age of Aquarius, is we're all just giving our abundant love because we already learned to love ourselves. And that's, I think, is the greatest medicine that we, again, need to heal that love for ourselves first, because I don't think most people are acting from it. People are saying it, like you said, people can say the word, I love myself, but do they feel the love for themselves is the more powerful.
So potent. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you for being here. I'm so grateful for you, for your light, for your love, for your friendship. I love that I have friendships in my life where I can close out and say this, but I can't wait to be back in Texas so that you can stick needles in me. I've been genuinely fantasizing about it and looking forward to it. I could really use some acupuncture right about now, so can't wait for that. But thank you, Charlie. Listeners, connect with Charlie. Check out his YouTube. Check out his Instagram. I love your content.
Thank
It's so
you.
well-rounded. And as with most of the people we keep in our circle, very positive, very helpful, right? We're not about doom and gloom here. Like, we have the power. We have the power to change. We have the power to choose love always. And we really are like living through it right now. Like, the moment of human history. Like, I mean, I can conceptually, spiritually, and energetically feel like the infinite amount of souls that are like, let me put me in, let me go down. Like, to be on earth right now, a soul is experiencing like a once in an eternity thing. And so, cultivate that gratitude, come back to these original medicines, come back to your own medicine, your own self-love, and we're all gonna get there together in the end. It's already happened. We're just watching it play out. So, Charlie, thank you so
Thank you
much.
so much.